That's right.
All right, well, so good morning. So today's daf is Chaf Hei. We left off right at the Mishnah. Ma says Shabo Shnayim v'Amru Ra'inu b'Shachris v'Mizrach. So we'll say again another episode of witnesses coming to testify about the new moon. So the Mishnah says two witnesses showed up and they said that we saw the old moon. This is talking about the old moon now in the morning in the east. The Arbis B'Marav, and in the evening we saw the new moon in the west. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Ruvi said, "Eidei Shekerim," that they're lying. They're lying. And Rashi points out over here, both say that, remember, we saw earlier on Daf Chaf Amud Beis this idea that there has to be, there's usually 24 hours between the disappearance of the old moon and the reappearance of the new moon. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Ruvi said they're lying if they say that they saw the old moon in the morning and the new moon in the evening. Ukishabal Yavna, when they came to Yavna, Kiblon, Rabbi Gamliel. Also remember, Yavne was the area or was the city in which the Sanhedrin relocated to after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Remember again, that's the famous statement when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of the city when there was a siege by the Romans, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes face to face with the Emperor Vespasian, and he says to Vespasian, "Tein li Yavne v'chachamah, tein, give me the city of Yavne and its wise men." Spare the city of Yavne. So Rabbi Yochanan, so this is Rabbi Gamliel. This is, by the way, there are two Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel 2. It's Rabbi Gamliel 2. So they came to Rabbi Gamliel, and this is Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Furthermore, another episode, that there were witnesses who came to testify about the new moon, and they said, we saw it Bismano. They said, Bismano means the night of the 30th. Ubalel Iburo, but on the night of the 31st, we didn't see it. Obviously, they have to be talking about it was a clear night, and they say we just didn't see the moon. So the Kibla Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Am Rabbi Dosa in here can have said, "Eidei Shekerim, they're liars." Why? Listen, he gives an interesting mashal. He says, "Heich mi'idin ala isha sheyalda ulamachar kreisa ben shineha." How can you give testimony about a woman that she gave birth, and yet the next day she still looks 9 months pregnant? The idea is that lamaisa again, if the woman gave birth. And yet the next day, I mean, don't use that line. You know, it's the next day, she's clearly still with child. So what he's saying, what Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was saying was, no. If you saw the moon the 20th and 30th, you should have been able to see the moon on the 31st. If you did not see it on the 31st, it probably means what? That which you saw on the 30th was in fact not the new moon. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua said, now I'm supposed to say, follow this episode here. So the witnesses come along. They say to Rabbi Gamliel, "We saw the moon on the night of the 30th, but we did not see it again on the night of the 31st. Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says they're lying. It's not possible. If it was really the moon on the night of the 30th, they should have seen it on the 31st. So Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, "Roa anies devarecha. I hear what you're saying." Meaning Rabbi Yoshua said, "I see your position over Rabbi Gamliel's." Armalo Rabbi Gamliel, Shalach Rabbi Gamliel. This is famous Maisa. Rabbi Gamliel sent word to Rabbi Yoshua. And I will say, understand what this means. And Rashi points out, this was Chodesh Elul. This was the month of Elul that they were talking about over here. Meaning Elul going into Tishrei. So what happened? So I will say now, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the previous month was a 29-day month. Rosh Chodesh was on day 30. According to Rabbi Yoshua, based on what he understood from Bidosa ben Hyrcanus, in fact, was a 30-day month. So where does the fundamental dispute come along? Yom Kippur. So meaning according to Rabbi Gamliel's model has it on the 10th of the month, and Rabbi Yoshua's Yom Kippur would be on what would be the 11th of Rabbi Gamliel's month. So meaning Rabbi Yoshua's Yom Kippur would come out one day later than Rabbi Gamliel's. So Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yoshua, "Gozrani alecha, shetavo etzli b'makalcha, ubema'osecha v'yomikipurim shechaliyos b'cheshbonecha." So Rabbi Gamliel sent word to Rabbi Yoshua and said, "Rabbi Yoshua, I decree upon you that you come to me with your staff and with your money bag on the day that according to your calculations is Yom Kippur." meaning Rabbi Gamliel is being very stark, and he said again, I am the Nasi, I am the head. When I say it's Yom Kippur, and to show that, I want you to come to me. I know you think Yom Kippur is one day later. I want you to come to me with your staff and with your money purse on the day that you think is Yom Kippur. So halachu motzah Rabbi Akiva Meitzer. So he went, and we'll see in the Gemara how exactly to read this phrase. But halach, he went, umatzo, and he found Rabbi Akiva, Meitzer, and he was upset. Amrlo, so we'll say, again, the Gemara will explain that this was, he went, and Rabbi Akiva found Rabbi Yoshua dejected, he found him upset. Amrlo, and Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yoshua, yeshli lilmod, shekomash Rabbi Gamliel asui. I learned from here that everything that Rabbi Gamliel, you should learn from here, that everything that Rabbi Gamliel does stands. You know, also Rabbi Gamliel, as the head of the Beis Din, has incredible power, and what he decrees specifically in calendrical matters, that becomes the reality. Shne Emar, Eile Moadei Hashem Yikrei Kodesh, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'Moadam, Asher Tikru'u Osam, Bein Bizmanon, Bein Shelo Bizmanon. That the Beis Din has the ability to declare the appointed times, i.e. the new months, both in their correct time and not in their correct time. Ein li moados ela elu. There are no other appointed times, no other Rosh Chodesh, no other Yamim Tovim except these. In other words, what Rabbi Akiva was telling Rabbi Yoshua is, that is the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vested the Beis Din with. That the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, HaGadol, they determine the calendrical realities. And whatever they determine, that's the reality we have. Ba lo eitzu Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Yoshua goes ahead and goes back to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. And remember, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was the one who originally argued on Rabbi Gamliel. Amarlo, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says to Rabbi Yoshua, don't be upset. Amarlo, im bo'in anu ladun achar beis dino shel Rabbi Gamliel, if we are going to second guess the beis din of Rabbi Gamliel, tzrichin anu ladun achar kol beis dinu beis din. Sha'amar mimos Yoshua v'ad achshav, that we'd have to second guess all of the decisions made by all of the batei din, from the days of Moshe until now. Shene Emar, Rabbi says, and very interestingly, because as the pasuk says, Vaya'al Moshe v'Aaron v'Avihu, Nadav v'Avihu, v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. So the pasuk says that Moshe, Aaron, Nadav v'Avihu, and the 70 elders ascended. V'lamalon is parshu shmos and shel zekin. Rabbi says, why are we not told the name of this, the names of the 70 elders? Because I will say, what do we learn from here? The Torah purposely does not disclose the names of the 70 elders. Why? Because had they disclosed the name of the 70 elders, so a person would say, oh, because that person's a tzaddik. But when you compare it contemporarily, there are no tzaddikim like those individuals. The Torah purposely leaves them anonymous to teach you what? That every single Beis Din that sits as an established Beis Din, Hari Hu Ka Beis Dino Shel Moshe, is vested with the power of Moshe. And I will say, obviously, this is not to be understood literally, because, you know, when we form a Beis Din for Hataras Nedarim, you know, don't get any big ideas about making new takanas or gzeros. But the idea is that the great rabbinic bodies over the ages, we don't have necessarily this type of rabbinic body today, but the great Batei Din over the generations have the same power as the Batei Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Notlo, so we'll say when Rabbi Yoshua heard this, Notlo Maklo Umaosa Biado, Bahalach Liavna Eitz Rabbi Gamliel, Biyom Shechal Yom Kippurim Lios Becheshbon. So we'll say, amazing enough, Rabbi Yoshua goes, he hears all of this, and he goes on the day that he felt was Yom Kippur to Rabbi Gamliel with his staff and with his money bag. Amad Rabbi Gamliel, when Rabbi Gamliel, son of Gamliel, stood up, v'nashko al rosho, and he kissed him on his head. Amar lo, bo b'shalom Rabbi v'talmidi. So he said to, this is now Rabbi Gamliel speaking to Rabbi Yoshua, come in peace, my Rebbe and my student. Rabbi, why are you my Rebbe? B'chachma, because the truth is Rabbi Gamliel said that he recognized that Rabbi Yoshua was a greater Talmud Chacham than he was. But you are my student. Shekibalta es devarai, because ultimately you accepted my words. All right, we'll come back to that story a little bit more in the Gemara, but a very powerful story. So going back for just a little bit, remember that the first case in the Mishnah was a case of where the witnesses said that they saw the old moon in the morning in the east and the new moon in the morning in the west. So the Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said they were liars, but Rabbi Gamliel accepted them. Tanya Amalim Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim, Kach Mikublani Mibes Abba. This is, I have a Masorah from my father's home. Pamim Sheba Ba'aruka. that the moon doesn't always travel at the same pace. Sometimes the pace of the moon is slower. Sometimes the pace of the moon is faster. But say, obviously, what that's referring to over here is not as much the pace of the moon, but rather the seasonal changes that impact when and how you see the moon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time in the Beit Rebbe. What's the reason for this teaching? Dichsev, because the pasuk says, quotes over here, the pasuk from Tehillim, Asa Yareach Lemoadim, he made the moon at the appointed times. Shemesh Yada Mivoo, and literally the sun, the way he's going to dash in the pasuk is the sun. People know its trajectory, so he dashes over here. Shemesh Hu Yada Mivoo. The only type of trajectory that's constantly predictable is the pathway of the sun. Yareach Lo Yada Mivoo, but the pathway of the moon is not always as predictable. Rabbi Chiya Chazi Lisiha. I will say it's a very interesting story. Rabbi Chiya saw the moon. Now Rashi points out over here. The Chazi Lesihira Yishana. He saw this was the old moon, the Havakai B'Tzafra de Esrim B'Tisha. So he saw the old moon appear on the morning of the 29th. The morning of the 29th day of the month. Shakal Kala Pasak Bey. He took a cloud of earth and he threw it at the moon. Amar La'arta, he started yelling at the moon, Ba'inan Likidushe Bach Va'at Kayem Esacha. We need to declare a new month. And what are you doing here? Hopefully no one was around. Right? See, right? So look at Rashi. So what he's saying over here is they needed to make that a chaser month. You know, remember, yeah, we've seen before that there were times they needed to make a chaser month. Now remember, Beis Din has the power to make a chaser month. What's the problem? If the old moon is visible on the morning of the 29th, it's going to be very difficult to actually declare that a chaser month. So Rabbi said to Rabbi Chiya, Zil le'in tov. So Rebbe said to Rabbi Chiya, because again, apparently Rebbe was there as well, they saw this moon, so he said, go to Ein Tab. So apparently, it must have been, maybe Ein Tab had a higher elevation, whatever it was, but the new moon would have been more easily visible from there. So go to Ein Tab, you'll see the new moon, and we'll be Makadish based on what we see in Ein Tab. V'shalech li simna, and when you get there and you see the new moon, send me a simon. And what's the simon? Just send back message, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Send back the message, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and that's the code. That's the code for the new moon has been sighted. Look at Rashi. Zila Inta V'Kadshe, Doik Hayashol Yuraninu Alav B'nei Yiro, Kishei Kadshenu L'machar, L'fishero Hayashana Koyom Chavtes, V'salat Tlunah Sameh Alai. So we'll say, so what he was concerned about is they couldn't really be Mekadish L'Chodeshim where they were right then and there, because again, the old moon was visible on the morning of the 29th. For some reason, they felt that the visibility would have been different in Ein Tav. Go to Ein Tav, so we still have the ability to declare the new month. David Melech Yisrael, Rashi says, Nimshal kelevana she'ne'emar bo, kiso kashemesh negdi, ki areach ichavin olam. So he quotes over the pasuk from Tehillim, where David Melech is compared to the moon. So that was the code. If you go and you say, David Melech Yisrael chai v'kanyom, that says what? The new moon has been sighted. Okay. Tan Rabbanon, pam achas nis kashu shemayim ba'avim, Viniras Dimus Levana Be'esrim Etisha L'Chodesh. One time it was a cloudy day, and they thought that they saw the new moon on the 29th of the month. And what happened? Kisvurim Ha'am Loma Rosh Chodesh. So we'll say, what happened? The people saw the new moon on the 29th, and they thought that what? They thought that, again, it was Rosh Chodesh. I mean, they thought they saw the new moon. They didn't really see the new moon. They thought it probably was more like a cloud formation. But nevertheless, they thought that they were seeing the new moon and they were ready to declare Rosh Chodesh. Now again, this is on day 29. Day 29. Ubikshu Beis Din L'Kadsho. Beis Din was ready to declare Rosh Chodesh. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, no. Kach mikubani mebeis Avi Ava. This is the tradition I have for my father's home. Ein chidusha shalavana pechusa me'esher metishayamu mechza u'shnei shlishi shah. So Rabbi Gamliel said, the Mesorah I have for my father is that a month cannot be less than 29 and a half days, two-thirds of an hour, and 73 chalokim. That is the shortest possible month you could have. And therefore, again, this sighting was occurring before that amount of time from the month had elapsed. And then for Rabbi Gamliel, it's impossible, it's not Rosh Chodesh. This is very interesting. Va'osayom, that day, Mesa Imo Shel Benzaza. Benzaza's mother died. The Hispid Rabbi Gamliel has been Gadol. And Rabbi Gamliel delivered a great eulogy. Now I will say, obviously, Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. When the Nasi didn't eulogize just anyone, the Nasi only eulogized very important people. So the Gemara says, Lo b'nei shiru'i l'kach. It's not because the mother of Ben Zaza deserved this. Meaning, I'm sure she was a wonderful woman. But the truth is, again, under normal circumstances, the Nasi would not have given a long eulogy during her levaya. So why did he do it? Right, I was making a statement. And what was the statement? Today is not Rosh Chodesh. How does the eulogy indicate that today is not Rosh Chodesh? Because on Rosh Chodesh, there are no hespedim. We do not deliver eulogies on Rosh Chodesh. The fact that he gave a eulogy, and not just the eulogy, this was a long eulogy. And that showed everyone that today is not Rosh Chodesh. Halach Rabbi Akiva Matzal Meitzer. Ibai lehu, mi Meitzer. Rabbi Akiva Meitzer, Rabbi Yoshua Meitzer. So I must remember again, after Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua that I need you to show, I want you, I decree upon you that you show up to me on what you think is on what the day that you think is Yom Kippur with your walking stick and your money bag. So the Mishnah says that Rabbi Akiva went and he found that he was sad. So the Gemara is asking, who was sad? Was Rabbi Akiva sad or was Rabbi Yoshua sad? Toshma Desanya, Halach Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went Umatzol Rabbi Yoshua. Kishuhu Meitzar. So here the price of Osai is a little bit clearer than the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva went and he found that Rabbi Yoshua was sad. Rabbi Yoshua was dejected. Because Rabbi Osai, remember in Rabbi Yoshua's mind, what was he being asked to do? He was being asked to be Mechalel Yom Kippur. He was very convinced of his own Shitos. He was being asked to be Mechalel Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, Amar lo, mipnei ma'ata Meitzar. Why are you upset? Amar lo Akiva, ra'ui lo sheyipol lamita yud beis chodesh. I also have to understand something. So Rabbi Yoshua was older than Rabbi Akiva, and it was almost like a shtickle Rabbi to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva comes and he finds his Rabbi all dejected, and he says, Rabbi, what's wrong? And he says, Akiva, I will tell you, I would have rather been bedridden for a year with sickness than for Rabbi Gamliel to decree this upon me. Meaning Rabbi Yoshua is a mess. That here, Rabbi Gamliel is asking him to violate the day that he feels is Yom Kippur. Amar lo, listen to this. Rabbi, tarsheni lomar lefanecha davar echad shli maratani. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi, do you give me permission to remind you of something you taught us? Amar lo, emor. He said, please, Rabbi Shua says, please, go ahead. Amar lo, harehu omer, vosa, it says by Kiddush HaKodesh, actually by the sanctification of the Yom Tovim, which is seen really is a hint to Kiddush HaKodesh itself. It says, atem, atem, atem. Vosa, it says the word atem three times in three different psukim, all within the context of sanctification of the Yom Tovim, which of course, again, is sanctification of the new month as well. So why did it say atem, atem, atem three times? Atem, it means that you based in, have the ability to declare the new month, and therefore, by definition, control the timing of the Yom Tovim. Afilu shogigin, even if you make a mistake, even if your calculations are wrong, nevertheless, what? Your ruling stands. Even if you did it mistakenly. Atem afilu mezidin, even if you intentionally declared the wrong day Rosh Chodesh, nevertheless, what? Your ruling still stands. Atem afilu mutin. Your ruling stands, even if you are mistaken. So also Rabbi Akiva was reminding Rabbi Yoshua was that that's the nature of Kiddush HaKodesh. The nature of Kiddush HaKodesh is wholly and totally dependent on the declaration of the Beis Din. And even if it turns out the Beis Din is astronomically wrong, their ruling still stands. B'lashon azeh amar lo. So after this state, so again, then Rabbi Yoshua responded with this wording, amar lo Akiva nichantani nichantani. He said, Akiva, you have comforted me. Because now what Rabbi Akiva sent to Rabbi Yoshua is, Rabbi, you're not violating anything. You're not violating anything. Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din, they're in charge. And so when they declare that today is the new month, and therefore again, it's a chaser, it's a 29-day month, and the Yom Kippur is on the 10th of the month, Rabbi, that's the reality. You're not violating anything. You just have to bow to that decision, and you accept it. And he says, Akiva, you have comforted me. So the Gemara goes weiter. So he came to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. And remember, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was the one who said, Tanur Rabbanon, Lamalon is Parshu Shmosa Shal Zakinim Halalu. But it says a very beautiful Gemara. Why? Remember again, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus said to Rabbi Yoshua, excuse me, that when it talks about the 70 elders, it does not go ahead and mention them by name. It mentions Moshe, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, but doesn't mention the elders. And said, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, why is that? in order to teach you that the Beis Din of every generation is the Beis Din of every generation. So the Braisa, meaning, and don't try to second guess and say that this Beis Din is not as great as last Beis Din, as the previous Beis Din. So that's why it leaves them dafka anonymous. To say the truth is, their individual identities are irrelevant. What's important is they were part of the Beis Din HaGodol of their day, and that vested them with authority. So the Braisa says up here, Tana Rabbanan, Lamalon is Parshu Shmosam Shazakinim Halalu. Why is it that the names of the 70 elders, Moshe Rabbeinu's Beis Din, were not listed? Shelo Yomar Adam, a person should never say, Ploni Kimoshe V'Aron, Ploni Kinada V'Aviyu, Ploni Ke'olda Dumeda. So I'll say, because a person could easily say that what? That if they were listed, I would have said, oh, you know why those were 70 elders? Because the Maaseh, they were great. But look at this guy I have over here, right? Look at this Rav, look at this Posek, look at this Beis Din. Is he anything compared to Moshe? Is he anything compared to Aaron, compared to Nadav and Avihu? And the answer, of course, is no. We'll say, there's no one comparable to these individuals, but that's immaterial. At the end of the day, what the Torah is doing is vesting the ranking rabbinic body of the generation with the ability to make major decisions that impact Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, Va'omer, Va'yomer Shmuel Ala'am, Hashem asher asa es Moshe ves Aaron. So Shmuel says to the people, this is in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you great leaders, like Moshe and Aaron who took you out of Egypt. Also, and then he goes on and says, Va'omer, Va'yishlach Hashem es Yerubal ve'es Bidon ve'es Yiftach ve'es Shmuel. So Moshe Shmuel was saying to the people, the same God who gave you Moshe and Aaron is the same God who will give you your leaders now, Yerubal, Bidan, Yiftach, Mishmuel. So who is Yerubal? Yerubal is Gidon. Yerubal is Gidon. V'lama nikra shmo Yerubal? Why was he given the name Yerubal? Sha'asim riba ma'bal, because he did war with the idolatry of Baal. Bidan, who is Bidan? Ze Shimshon. That Shimshon, v'lama nikra shmo Bidan? Why was he called Bidan? Da'asim midan, because he came from the tribe of Dan. Yiftach, who is Yiftach? Kimashmo. Yiftach is Yiftach. Amud Beis. Va'omer Moshe Aaron beKarnav uShmo beKarei Shmo, and yet they both say, what does it equate? The Torah, David HaMelech and Tillim equates Moshe and Aaron with Shmuel. So Shakal Akasav Shlosha Kalei Olam Ki Shlosha Chmorim. So we'll say, look what Shmuel Hanavi did. So on one hand, what you have a comparison is you have Moshe Aaron and Shmuel on one hand, and on the other hand, who do you have? You have Yiftach. You have Yiftach, Shimshon, and I am true to Shmuel is also mentioned in that pasuk as well. So the Gemara says the following. So what does this teach you? What does it teach you? Lomar lecha Yerubal bedoro, Kimoshe bedoro. That's Rabosai Gidon in his generation is just as important as Moshe was in his generation. Bidan bedoro, Shimshon in his generation, Ka'aron bedoro, just as important as Aaron in his generation. Yiftach bedoro. Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot about Yiftach. Yiftach bedoro, kishmuel bedoro. And Yiftach in his generation was just as important as Shmuel in his generation. So we'll say again, therefore the Torah goes ahead and compares Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach to ultimately Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. To teach you again that Rabbosai, greatness is relative. That we don't necessarily go ahead and compare the people that we have now to people of previous generations. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're right, no one's going to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the leaders that we have now are the leaders that we have, and they are vested with the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the authority of Torah. So he says the following, where does it teach us? That it was that even a person who might be Kal Shabakalan. Kal Shabakalan means relatively unimportant. Vinismana Parnes ala Tzibor, but he is appointed to a position of leadership over the Tzibor. Haru Ka'avir Shabbirim. He has to be treated again as the noble of all nobility. The idea of Bosai ultimately is that when a person is vested with a position of authority over the community, assuming again they don't abuse that power, assuming they don't do terrible things with that power, lemaise again, the generation must give them the proper respect to be able to go ahead and accomplish what they need to accomplish. They're not as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, they're not as great as previous generations, that's correct, but each generation has what it has. Also, you just understand also, this is a very important yisod with this. What the Gemara is also teaching is that leaders can only accomplish things if they have the backing of their constituents. At the end of the day, if the constituents do not vest their leaders with appropriate confidence, the appropriate confidence in who and what they are and what they could accomplish, lemaise, again, the leaders will accomplish nothing. So again, the Gemara is not saying that literally the leader today is going to be as great as Moshe. I mean, no one's going to say that because it's not true. Lo kam bi'Yisrael kimoshe, oh, there's no other. But at the end of the day, each generation has what it has, and it's the job of the constituents of that generation to vest their leaders with their confidence to be able to accomplish. Va'omer, ubasa l'kohanim v'alevim. Ubasa l'kohanim halevim v'alashopit n'shiryah b'yamim ahim. The pasuk says, you will come to the kohanim, the levim, and the judge that you have in those in your days. The chisale. So I'll say, the Gemara asks a very simple question. The chisale al-datcha sha'adam holik eitzel adayin shalom haya b'yamav. So what does the Torah have to say? The Torah says, if you have an issue, you should go to the judges that you have in your days, as opposed to what? As opposed to getting in my time machine and going to the judges, you know, from two generations ago. What exactly are my choices? The Gemara says, no. To teach you something very important. He says, just know, all you have is the judge of your days. And you both say, that appreciate what you have in your generation, and don't constantly compare what you have in your generation to that which we had in previous generations, and thereby demean the authority of your present shofet. Va'omer, al tomar ma'haya shayam harishonim hayutovim me'ila. So it's very interesting. He says over here, it's quoting from the Pasuk in Koheles, don't be the kind of person, also, you know, there are some people that always reflect on the good old days, right? Some people that always want to turn back the clock. They want to go back to some old system that was so good for them. And you know what happens to people who do that? First of all, they get on everybody's nerves. Right? They're terribly annoying because the truth is what they are obstacles to change. And they are obstacles to development. And they try to keep everyone tethered in some past that the truth is wasn't as glorious as they actually think. There's just been a little bit of cognitive historical revisionism. People paint this beautiful rosy picture of what the past was, and they want to keep everyone. You know, this happens all the time. It happens in organizations. It happens to people. They're just these people who just want to be mired in the past. So the Gemara says, don't be that kind of person. The past is gone. The past is gone. You have a present and you have the ability to build a future. So be the kind of person that gets vested in your present and begin to let go of the way things were simply done in the past. As he goes on. So also, I remember, the only reason the Gemara brought up this whole thing was why? Was because, again, remember, this was what Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was saying to Rabbi, was trying to make Rabbi Yeshua feel better. Rabbi Yeshua, don't be upset. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. And as I remember, we saw Rabbi Yeshua was probably a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Gamliel. But what Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is saying is, listen, Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. And as the Nasi, what he says, that's the reality. That's the reality. So don't fight the reality. You're wrong. He's right. Accept his declaration of the month. Show up before him on the 11th. So the Gemara ends off by saying, So again, what happened? Rabbi Yeshua took his staff and his money bag. And he went to Rabbi Gamliel. Remember, on the day that, according to his calculations, would have been Yom Kippur. Tanra Abana will say, this is so beautiful. Kevan Shira also, when Rabbi Gamliel saw Rabbi Yeshua come, Abba Mikiso, he stood up from his chair, Vinashko Arosho, and he kissed Rabbi Yeshua on Rabbi Yeshua's head. Amar lo, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi V'tamidim. Peace be unto you, my master, my Rabbi, and my student. Rabbi, why? Shelimaratani Torah Barabim. Because we'll say, apparently there must have been an episode where Rabbi Yeshua taught Rabbi Gamliel Torah. Gemara doesn't record over here what it is, but there was an episode where he taught him Torah. V'tamidi, but you are my student. Sha'ani gozer alecha gzera, va'ata makayma kitalmid. And you are my Talmud. Why? Because I made a decree upon you, and you listened. Ashrei hador sha'gidolim nishmam l'kitanim. This is very interesting. Praiseworthy is the generation where the great ones listen to even the smaller ones. Kavachomer kitanim l'gidolim. All the more so, the smaller ones will listen to the greater ones. Kavachomer chiyuvahu. Well, so now, what does that mean? Now, first of all, such a strange statement, right? That praiseworthy is generation where, again, the Ketanim listen to the Gedolim, the ones who are not as great, or the ones who are great listen to the ones who are not as great. Kavachomer, the ones who are not as great, should listen to the ones who are great. Rabosai, it's not a Kavachomer. Of course, Ketanim should listen to Gedolim. That's the whole, remember, Rabosai is such an, we have this, this is part of the bedrock of our theology, that we listen to Tamidei Chachamim, we listen to Gedolim, we do these kind of things because we recognize they know more than us. So you need a Kavachomer. So Gemara says, no. Ela mitoch sha Gedolim nishmam l'Ketanim. Rather, Rabosai, what we see is the following. when you see these type of episodes where Gedolim, great people, bend their knee and humble themselves before people who are technically less than them. Rabbi said, like this example over here, where Rabbi Gamliel was the first to say to Rabbi Yoshua, you are a greater Talmud Chacham than me. But just because you're a greater Talmud Chacham than me doesn't change one fact, and that is, I am the Nasi and you're not. And because of that, again, I wield this calendrical power. I decided to use it in this particular way. And you humbled yourself before that. So it was like, that is an incredible lesson for the generation. If even the great humble themselves before those who are not as great as them in situations like of need, so the more so what? No simketan and kavachomer ba'atzman. I will say, all the more so. So regular people like us make a kavachomer that we must humble ourselves in front of people who are greater than us as well. Hadron Allah im einan makirin. Ra'u Beis Din b'chol Yisrael. Well, so the Mishnah goes on. Let's say the Beis Din saw the new moon, b'chol Yisrael, and everybody else saw it as well. B'nechkiru a'edim, Rabbi said, and they go through the process of cross-examining the witnesses. But what happened? They didn't have a chance to declare the new month until when? Until it got dark. So we quoted this case before. So meaning everything is there. They saw the moon. They did the jishach. They would cross-examine the witnesses. Everything is ready to go. But they just didn't have a chance to actually formalize the process and mekudosh, mekudosh, until when? Now it's dark. So what happens? What's the halacha? Harizim u'ubar. Okay. Sorry, tough luck. You know, I mean, they need to say it like that, not tough luck, you know. But they missed the technical window, and they're forgetting the mindset. It is now a full month. They're going to have to declare Rosh Chodesh on day number 31. So the Gemara says the following. Furthermore, another case. Ra'u Beis Din Gilvan. Let's say you have a case of just where Beis Din saw. No one else saw anything. Just Beis Din. Ya'amdu Shnayim V'ya'idu Bifneihem. So we'll say, what happens again if two people go ahead? So Beis Din saw the new month. So say two of the members of the Beis Din should get up. V'ya'idu b'fneihem means that they should go ahead and give testimony in front of the rest of the Beis Din. V'yomru, and therefore Rabbi says as a result, v'yomru mekudash mekudash. Then the Beis Din could go ahead and say mekudash mekudash. We'll say look at Rashi, ra'uhu Beis Din Gilbad. He says she'ein mi she'ya'id elaheim. So we'll say in this case over here, only Beis Din is actually seeing the new moon. They're the only ones seeing it. So what do you do in that kind of type of situation? Then members of the Beis Din have to get up and they give testimony in front of the rest of the Beis Din. So essentially, members of the Beis Din become the Eidim to give the testimony, and the remainder of the Beis Din accepts the testimony and then goes ahead and declares the new month. Ra'ua shlosha v'hein Beis Din. I will say again, if let's say three people saw it, and they are the Beis Din. Ya'amdu ashnayim. So we'll say now, you only have a Beis Din of three. Remember, in the previous case, you had a larger Beis Din. In this case, now you only have a Beis Din of three. Two of them saw it. What happens to Bosai? So the two get up. The problem is what? You only have one left on the Beis Din. So what do you do? Ya'amdu ashnayim. V'yoshivu mechabereihem eitz layochid. And then you take two other people, put them as part of the Beis Din to accept the testimony of the witnesses. V'ya'idu b'fnei v'yor mekudosh mekudosh. Because we'll say at the end of the day, an individual is not believed on his own to go ahead and say Mekudosh Mekudosh. Meaning, I will say what the Gemara is saying over here is we've already established that you have to have two witnesses. What we're establishing now is that in order for Beis Din to declare the new month, there must be a bona fide Beis Din, which is comprised of what? At least three people. So again, three different cases in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Lama li lemisna ru'a Beis Din v'chol Yisrael. Why does the first case of the Mishnah was? Now, the first case of the Mishnah was focused on a technical detail, which was what? You had all the necessary ingredients to declare the new month, just only one issue, which was they ran out of time. They just ran out of time. So why do you have to throw in there that the Beis Din saw it and Kol Yisrael? And all the Jewish people, why do you have to say that? So the Gemara says, Itzrich Sachat Ait Chamina, I would have thought to say, Hoil V'ra'u Beis Din V'chol Yisrael, if our Sima Lo V'lo Le'ibrua, I would have thought, Rabbi say, that in a case where the presence of the new moon is so clear that everyone is seeing it, then even if what? Even if Beis Din didn't have a chance to actually say the words, Mekudosh, that what? The new month should still be sanctified on day 30. Kamashmalan, that even if Gantz Yisrael saw it, unless, of course, the Beis Din actually said, Ab Beis Din says Mekudosh, and everyone else says Mekudosh, Mekudosh, it is not the new month. V'cheivan detana luhu ra'ua Beis Din v'chol Yisrael. nechkiru ha'edim lamali. So if that's the case again, that it says the Beis Din saw it, all of Klal Yisrael saw it, why do you have to throw in there that the witnesses were already cross-examined? Meaning, why put that piece of information on the Mishnah? Hachi kamar, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Inami nechkiru ha'edim lo hispiku lomar makodesh. So also there are two cases. Ra'u ha'beis, and the Beis Din saw it. And even if all of Klal Yisrael saw it, or even if Klal Yisrael didn't see it, but what? The witnesses were properly cross-examined. So mamish, they're ready, they're poised to say mekudosh, mekudosh. For lo hispiku lomar mekudosh ad shechashecha, but yet they didn't have a chance to say mekudosh until nightfall. Harei zemu uber. At the end of the day, it's a full month, meaning Rosh Chodesh not until the next day. V'cheva detana ad shechashecha harei zemu uber. But if that's the case, again, still, why do you even have to mention the cross-examination of the witnesses? It's necessary. Why? I would have thought to say to have a chakira seidim kitchilas din. We'll say, listen to this. I might have thought that the process of cross-examining the witnesses is considered to be the beginning of what we'll call the beginning of the lunar judicial process, bless you. The beginning of the process of Kiddush HaChodesh and the recitation of Mekudosh Mekudosh Kigimardin. So we'll say it's a protracted process. It's a process that begins with the investigation of the witnesses and concludes when Beis Din is able to say Mekudosh Mekudosh. And therefore what? V'lekad Shei Balayla. And therefore again, we'll say this is true, that you should be able to what? Be Mekadesh the Chodesh. You should be able to say Mekudosh Mekudosh at night. Why? Midi dehavi adine mamonis. Because we'll say it should be no different than any other type of, let's say, financial adjudication. Because what is the halacha? This nan, dine mamonis donin bayom. We'll say dine mamonis means financial matters. When you litigate finance, when you have to adjudicate financial matters, the halacha is all, we'll say, all dine Torah, all matters that come before Beis Din. Beis Din only works during the day. They only adjudicate cases during the day. However, again, if you began a case by day and it extended into the night, Beis Din is permitted to rule on that case even at night. Because once it started by day, that's considered to be like a daytime adjudication and it could extend into the night. So I would have thought over here also, we'll say, well, I would say the same thing over here. Once you started cross-examining the witnesses, then what? That's the beginning of the process. As long as you began the process by day, you could what? Extend it even into the night, which means that you should be able to say Makudosh Makudosh even when, I mean, you should be able to finish it even at night. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, we do not hold that way, and the entire process for Kiddush HaChodesh must be finished by day. So Mar says, one second. The Eimah HaKanami, but why do you reject that argument so quickly? That sounds like a pretty ironclad argument. Why don't you say that? Why don't you say that in the same way that you could begin a monetary issue by day and finish it up at night? So to by Kiddush Chodesh, you can begin it by day and finish it up at night. Because he says, Amrakra, the Pasuk says, Ki chok li Yisrael hu, mishpat lelokei Yaakov. Because the Pasuk says it will be a statute for the Jewish people. Mishpat lelokei Yaakov. And also remember, we already saw that this refers to the concept of Rosh Chodesh. It refers specifically to Rosh Hashanah, but to Rosh Chodesh in general. Emas havi chok. When is it considered to be a chok? Meaning, when is the ruling of the Beis Din? Bigmar Din. Only when it's finally completed, i.e. when the Beis Din says Mekudosh Mekudosh, and yet, the Kakari Lirachmana Mishpat, but the Torah calls it Mishpat. Ma, I should say the Rabbi calls it Mishpat. Tilm calls it Mishpat. Ma Mishpat Bayom, just as Mishpat Rabosai can only be carried out by day. Rabosai, Mishpat refers to Dafka Tchilas Din, Rashi says. Mishpat, just like the case can only begin by day, Af Hachanami Bayom. So to Rabosai, what the Gemara is pointing out is, the Pasuk refers to the entire process of Kiddush HaChodesh as Mishpat. The fact that it calls it Mishpat says just like Mishpat, which is Tchilas Hadin, the beginning of a case, must happen by day, so to Kiddush HaChodesh in its entirety, which is called Mishpat, must what? Must occur by day. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that even if everyone saw it, still, Nin Mekudosh Mekudosh by day. And even if you started the process, or even if you finished the process of cross-examining the witnesses by day, not enough. Mekudosh, the entire process must be begun and what? And completed by day. Ah, so the Gemara says, Ra'u obeys in Yam Dushnai v'Eid b'Fan. That's just the two more lines. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? If the Beis Din saw the Bosai. So now let's say the Beis Din as a whole saw the Kiddush HaChodesh. So what's the halacha? Some two members of the Beis Din have to get up and they essentially serve as the witnesses and they give over the testimony in front of the rest of the Beis Din. So the Gemara says, why? Va'amai lote shmiya gidola miriya. So understand what a strange process this is. Let's say, for argument's sake, you have five people on the Beis Din. They all saw the new moon. So what do you have to do now? two of the members of the Beis Din have to serve as witnesses and give over their testimony to the other three. Says Gemara, what are you talking about? Those three who are sitting on the Beis Din just saw what, Rav Osai? Just saw the new moon. So why is hearing any better than seeing? They just saw the new moon, and now you want them to receive testimony from the witnesses. Rabbi Zera, kigon shura uha balayla. This is an interesting case. Where did they see it? They saw it at night. And I will say, what does it mean they saw it at night? Remember, at night, essentially, they're not a Beis Din. At night, they're not a Beis Din. Because remember, since there are no matters adjudicated at night, therefore, lemaisa, they don't have the din of a Beis Din at night. And therefore, again, it comes the next day. So therefore, three of them sit as a Beis Din, two of them sit as witnesses. Look at Rashi. Sho'o balayla, hilchach lemachar, ilav shmiya amayikachu. So also because they saw it at night and they didn't see it as much as a Beis Din, but rather they saw it as a group. Therefore, the next day, in order for Kiddush HaKodesh to take place, you need two of them to be able to give testimony to three, at least three of them, two of them come as witnesses, three of them sit as a Beis Din, and that's how they end that Kiddush HaKodesh. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up right here tomorrow in the session. So that's the inference in the Gemara here. Although we will see that's not true. The Gemara is going to want to discuss that. You will see, even if five of them swept by the idea, still only the same exact process. So that's the Barsha Kimata. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Barsha Kimata.